Like to invite you this morning over to the book of Genesis, chapter 35, verse 1. Genesis, chapter 35, verse 1.
Genesis, chapter 35, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and then, Lord, to worship you, and then, Lord, knowing that you are in our midst and wanting to speak to us. And so, Lord, open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, once again, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and Lord, not only this morning, but in our lives every day. And Lord, that we might see your works in our lives and your grace and your mercy and your love. And Lord, that you might be pleased to use us for your honor and glory. Bless your word, bless your people this morning. And then Lord, as always, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to their hearts and minds that they might know you as Savior, Lord, before it's eternally too late. And we'll give you the praise for all of these things, for we ask them in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is An Altar Unto God, An Altar Unto God, or A Life Committed to Experiencing God. God wants us to experience Him. Do you believe that? God has given to us so many things, amen? But He started off with the best, and that was eternal life. God could have given us peace first and edged us into eternal life, but He didn't do that. He gave us His very best right up front. And so we know if He's given us His very best, we know He wants us to have all the other things as well. And so God's desire really is that every one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not make you've heard of the New Year's resolution, right? You know what happens with those New Year's resolutions. Oftentimes they fail, don't they? What we need to do is not have a New Year's resolution in seeking God to experience Him in His grace, but we ought to have a resolute heart, amen? So a resolution is a proclamation. This is what I'm going to do. I think maybe this year might be a good idea to say, I'm going to gain 10 pounds. We'll probably fulfill that one, won't we? But to be resolute is to take action, determined, and to be unwavering. We ought to be resolute to seek the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul by His grace. May we be resolute in that, and may we also be resolute. May God grant us the resolution to believe that He will meet us there. Amen. As we seek Him, that we will find Him. And so this morning, as we consider our text, just two thoughts this morning, and that is concerning the altar unto God, the place. That's the first thought. And then secondly, the plan. Just two thoughts this morning. The place and the plan that God wants really for each and every one of His children to enjoy and to have with our God. So look at verse 1 with me here. And God really, what He's doing is He's remembering, He's reminding really Jacob of his protection from Esau when he was leaving. Remember when he stole the birthright, didn't he? He was Jacob the trickster, the supplanter. And so he was a man really that was looking to gain some things for his own self. And not that God didn't want him to have those things, but he leaned to his own understanding and he acquired some things that caused some problems, not only between he and his brother Esau, but also between his father and mother as well, right? And so we'll take notice here that the Lord is working with him. And notice what he says here again in verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. And then we'll see later on, El Bethel is the God of the house of God. That's important. See, we call this the church building. We call it the house of God. Well, the only reason why it's the house of God is because God is in His people. And when His people are in this house, hey, this is the house of God. Amen? Because He indwells every believer. Now, here's an amazing thing. We're not going to go back there, but in chapter 34 here of the book of Genesis, we find that Dinah by Shechem was mistreated, and anyway, he wanted to marry her, and the children of Jacob, the brothers, they underhandedly deceived them and slaughtered all of them, didn't they? The Shechemites, and so what I want you to see here, take notice of, is in the midst of this depravity, it was a bad scene. Jacob said, boy, you make my name to smell amongst these people here. We're in trouble now. God moves in, intervenes, and says, I want to bring you back to the place where I dwell. Amen? I want to bring you back to the place, where I can work with you and you can work with me and we can enjoy a wonderful relationship. So the place is important, right? Today, the important place is the Lord's local New Testament church. That is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, it is the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is our rule, right? And so Lord, bring me to the place to where I want your Word to guide my every step. Now, keep this thought in mind. In salvation, did God give us his best? Do you believe that? And we are thankful for that, right? We can praise the Lord for that. God loves us as his children unconditionally. Is that a good thing? Isn't that good? Listen, you will always be loved by the Lord. And God wants you to know that. Listen, we don't serve a harsh taskmaster. We serve a loving God. Isn't that amazing? God does not crack the whip and drive his sheep. He leads them. And by the way, it's our choice, is it not? God says, choose you this day. He's from the very beginning. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He told the Israelites, choose you this day whom you will serve. Did he not? He tells us to make the same choice. And he also says, you know what? We have the opportunity to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, that we might experience the grace of God. So imagine this. We have salvation. How about the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the comfort and confidence of the Lord when things aren't going right? That's the best time to have the Lord, right? Anybody, listen, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody can be happy when everything's going their way. Anybody can be happy if things are going our way. But God wants us to have something that the world does not have, and something that you and I can have by the grace and will of God. And it is his will that we have these things. All the way back to Jacob's life here. He's the trickster. He's the supplanter. But God had a plan and a purpose for his life, did he not? Does God have a plan and a purpose for our life? Absolutely, he does. So let's keep that thought in mind. And again, he brings them back. He says, I want you to go back. He says, remember, God says, when I appeared to you, when you were fleeing from the face of Esau, your brother, that's where I want you to go back to in verse 1. So let's look at this preparation and notice what God does here. God wants us to come back to the place, really, of the beginning. Amen? God wants us to reflect on our salvation. Listen, what is the greatest understanding you and I have of the love of God if it's not salvation? What is the greatest sacrifice that you and I can recall that God has made on our behalf if it wasn't the price that he paid to give you and I eternal life? That needs to be the place of the altar. Amen? Not just here at church, but at home. We ought to have a place where we say, Lord, I just want to... Listen, I think it would be good for us to say, Lord, every day, thank you for the great price you paid to give me eternal life. Every day. I think that would be a good thing. Question, with that thought in mind, what do you think we'll be doing in heaven? Do you think we might be praising the Lord for the price that he paid that brought us into his presence? Wow, that's an amazing thought. So let's look at this preparation, and we find here this humble admission of other gods. Now, listen, I want the Lord, my heart's desire, I believe it's God's desire, is for God to do business with each and every one of us, right? Only God can do business with me, and only God can do business with you. So this is something between you and the Lord. As you hear these words, just reflect back on that price that Jesus paid for you, that gave you eternal life, and reflect that God gave his best right up front and wants to add to that best gift right up front all the other promises that God wants us to walk in that will, listen, bless our lives and reveal the glory of God in our lives to a dark and dying world that needs the light of the world. Isn't that wonderful when you stop and think about the Lord? So let's look at this. Let's look at this preparation here. In the place that they're at in verse 2. Then Jacob, once the Lord told him that, then God was directing him. Notice, then Jacob said unto his household, that's everybody, right? His household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. So you see the prerequisite there? Before we can get to that place of the house of God, Jacob was telling his people, his household, listen, you got to put away the strange gods that are among you. Well, what would that be? Well, we know what an idol is, really. It's anything that would keep us from the Lord, anything that would take precedent over God, that we give precedent to, that we give way to, that would keep us from coming to the Lord. And so I would dare say God wants us to come before him every day, sometime, doesn't he? Maybe in the evening, maybe in the morning, maybe throughout the whole day at different times, whatever the case might be. But God says, if you're going to really do that, consider possibly the idols that may be in your life. Consider possibly the false gods that may be interfering in your relationship with the Lord. Now, I want to share a thought here with you. And don't want you to misunderstand this. So listen very carefully. I mentioned that the Bible says that the devil is the prince and power of the air. That means he's over the world, right? And his job is to deceive us, and that we might not walk in all the promises of God. Now, he can't rob us of our salvation. That's a gift from the Lord. You have that. You're signed, sealed, and delivered as far as the eternal destiny is concerned. But God wants us to enjoy him and to be filled with him. But the devil certainly does not want the light of God in our life. In fact, if he could just rob us of the joy of our salvation and we walk in the mully grubs, the world will want nothing to do with us. Even if we proclaim the truth, if we don't have the joy of the Lord, the world would say, well, I still don't think I want what you got. Amen? Because it doesn't seem to be working for you, and so I want to stay away from that. But listen very carefully. Every time we are in the world, and when aren't we in the world? We're in the world, but listen, but we're in the world, but we're not what? Of the world. So realize every time we enter into the world, we are, and maybe this puts a new perspective, we are touching Satan. That ought to make, oh, I didn't realize that. So for example, if somebody is going to be educated in the medical field, do you think they might be taught some things that are against the Word of God? Do you think they may be taught about creation and biology from a skewed perspective? See, when we touch education, now is education a bad thing? No, not at all. But we need to be mindful that every time we go into the world or touch the world, we are also in the realm where Satan rules and reigns, and he's looking to keep the lost people lost, and he's looking to distract us from keeping our eyes on the Lord. Now, I'm not against technology, and I just mentioned a couple of things, and I will just tell you up front, I don't know that this was in the heart and mind of the people who invented it, but why in the world did they call it the World Wide Web or the Internet? Now listen, we're in the world, we're not of the world. I'm not against that. I use the technology all the time. I made mention of this also. I said something about there's a computer company that has the insignia of an apple that has a bite out of it, right? And I said, isn't that kind of interesting? Now, I'm not saying that the person that invented that had that thought in mind, amen? I'm not saying that that's what they had in mind. But every time we go out into the world, every time we turn on, my goodness, even the TV or the radio, get on the internet, isn't there a potential to be misled? Isn't there a potential to be taken away and caught up into something for more than the time that we wanted to give it? Is that not the truth? If we're all honest, we've been doing some research or whatever, not in anything bad, but it may preoccupy us to where before we know it, listen, we've not really given ourselves, our hearts and minds over to the Lord. So we need to be careful. So what am I trying to say? Be careful, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's his whole purpose. And he's after us. Amen? He's after the lost world to keep them lost, but he's after the saved child of God to confound and confuse them and to distract them so that they would take their eyes off of the Lord. So somewhere in the life of these individuals here, the household of Jacob, they entered into a realm where they had false gods. And these were the people of God, but they had false gods. Now, God's still working with Jacob and his family, and praise the Lord, God's still working with us. Amen? You and I will never be out of the hand of God. God is always working to bring, listen, God is always working and wanting to bring you and I closer to him. You and I could not be in better hands in our relationship with the Lord. So he says this. He says, verse 2, he says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. And what we're looking at here are these truths that will bring us to a life committed to experiencing the Lord. Amen? It all starts with salvation, but we need the peace, joy, love. We need the fruit of the Spirit abundantly being produced in our lives. And you remember what Jesus said, how that takes place? If we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us. You remember that? If. That's the contingency. See, it's not automatic. If. Now, how do I fix that to make sure? Well, God's already taken care of it. How do I work that to receive all of those things? We just believe that. Lord, you teach me, because, listen, everybody learns differently, do they not? If you look at the life of Jacob and you look at the life of Joseph, they both had trials, but they were specific to them, to where God could bring them to where he wanted them. Your life and mine are paralleled in this regard. We both know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But you and I have entered into different trials and different testings because God is working in each and every one of us specifically to bring us closer to him. And that's the Lord's work, and that's what he wants to give to every believer. So he says, listen, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. So God wants to do this work in our lives. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Isn't that amazing? He is depicting and revealing to the rest of his family the faithfulness of God. Question, has God been faithful to you and I as believers? You didn't even have to say that. I knew it. If you're a saved child of God, God's been faithful to you. In many ways, God has been faithful to you. And if you really look for the Lord, you'll see him in all your ways, will you not? Because that's what the Lord said. He wants us to follow and to acknowledge him in how many of our ways? In all of our ways. And he says, I will guide you and I will show you my way. So as we consider this, we find here a humble admission of other gods. We find Jacob's reflection of God's protection from Esau there in verse 3. And then we find this willingness to pursue the Lord. These are prerequisites. Are you willing to pursue the Lord? I believe you are. I believe you love the Lord. But listen. Here's one thing that I've learned, and I'm still learning, by the way, that God wants us to understand. He will do the work. Don't look at yourself and say, I can't. We know that. We know we can't. Don't we? We know. Listen, can anybody keep God's ways? No, we can't. So who will do that for us? God himself will do that for us, and that's the purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Isn't he the one that said, the Lord said that, listen, I'm going to give you this comforter, and he's going to show you and teach you all about who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's going to empower our lives. So Lord, I'm going to trust you that's what you want to do in my life. And by the way, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he says, he answered me in my distress. And then notice this in verse 4, and we find here this willingness to pursue the Lord. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. Isn't that amazing? They said, they made the choice, didn't they? They didn't hold on to them or bury them somewhere or hide them somewhere. How many of the strange gods did they give? Isn't that amazing? Did you see that? Did you see that in verse 4? And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And by the way, listen, that's all the Lord wants us to do. What we can think of, right? Lord, I don't want how many things to come before you and me? I don't want anything. I don't want anything to come before you and me. So Lord, give me a heart that says, I want to lay down anything before you that would keep me from walking with you. And that's between you and the Lord. We don't know what that means to somebody else, but we can know what that means to us. God will use the Holy Spirit and say, okay, here's what I want to do. You are occupied with this particular thing on a daily basis. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing. But maybe you don't need to spend as much time with that and give me some of your time. Amen? Give me a little, whatever that is. We're not even going to put a time frame on that. But that's between you and the Lord. Listen, and that could vary. That could vary. But what we're willing to do is say, Lord, I don't want to put anything before you. I want to have time with you that I might experience you in my personal life. All right. So here, as we look at this, we find their willingness to pursue the Lord. And then notice God's favor because of their faith. Look at verse 5. And they journeyed. So they set out and they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Remember what just happened? With Shechem, they mistreated them. Jacob said, we're in trouble now. God says, now I want you to walk through the land to the destination that I'm going to send you. And God says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect and watch. As you pursue me, I'm going to make sure that nobody will touch you. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Think about that. Listen. If we in our hearts will determine to seek the Lord, God's job is to see to it that we are not hindered. God's job is to see to it that he makes a way for us to get to him. Now, God didn't say it would be without trial, but here's the whole thing. Who are we looking to and who are we trusting? I'm trusting you, God, right? We are trusting you to get us to where you want us to be. All we have to do is have the choice to say, I'm going to trust you, Lord. So again, verse 5, it says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, that's the God of the house of God, because there God appeared unto him when he had fled from the face of his brother. So he's coming back to the place where he first met with the Lord. That's important, right? You know, listen, if you want to have your heart stirred, go back to the place and reflect on the day you got saved. Will that stir your heart for the Lord? Thank you, God, that you made that sacrifice. I can never forget that day. That's the day that our lives changed, our eternal destiny changed forever. And God convinced you of that, did he not? You know how I know that? If that was not real, not a one of us would be here today. If that was just turning over a new leaf, right? That would be as good as a New Year's resolution. How many of you can tell me the New Year's resolution you made 10 or 15 years ago? That'd be like asking you who won the Super Bowl 10 or 15 years ago. You know, the truth of the matter is those things are not significant. But what is significant is the day we trusted Christ as our Savior. Will you ever forget that? Can't. Can't forget that. Not even throughout all eternity. I can never forget that. And that's what brings us into the family and into the love of God and into the joy of the Lord and into the blessings of God. And God says, come back to the altar. Amen? Come back to the place where you can enjoy what I have given to you. So they come back over there. and notice verse 8, and Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon Bookoth, which is called really the Oak of Weeping. God didn't say there wouldn't be trials. So here they are, they're following the Lord, and somebody dies. Amen? But is that a bad thing? Well, wait a minute. She was ushered into the presence of God, right? When we leave this life, yes, it hurts. Amen? When people that we love leave this life, it is a difficult thing. But if they know the Lord, where are they right now? And they are they experiencing things that we can't even imagine? And when we get there, amen, wow, what a day that's going to be, where we will never grow old. There won't be any more pain, no more sickness, and no more death. Amen. Wow, we've got to, would we ever want them to come back to this? Amen. Would we ever really want them to come back to this? I've got news for you. I don't think they'd want to come back. Amen. And they understand that we will. I don't understand. I you know, like that. Just time just is out. It's gone. And you and I will be part of that because of the grace of God. And so we don't understand. We just have to trust the Lord in these things. And so verse 9, and God appeared unto Jacob, again, at the death of Deborah, Rebekah's nurse. And God appeared, verse 9, unto Jacob again, and he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. So look at this. Did you notice the timing of that? This nurse here, Rebekah's nurse, dies, and God meets him there. See? Listen, God meets us when we're hurting. God meets us and encourages us with things that this world cannot take from us. And so, God blesses him there. Verse 10, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. He's a prince with God. Can you believe that? Now listen, his whole household said, we're going to follow after the Lord. Isn't that what they said? Right. We are willing to give up that which would keep us from getting into the presence of God. That's what it was all about. Do you think that his whole household believed that God was going to reward them for making this trip, for leaving where they were at to go make this trip to seek the Lord? Do you think the household believed the promises that Jacob was telling them about? Absolutely. Do you think Jacob believed what God was telling him to do? Absolutely. And then he meets them there and he gives them a new name. And he says, listen, I want you to understand this plan. That's the last thought here. This plan that I have for you. The first part of the plan was a new name for Jacob. Amen. Jacob was the supplanter, but now he's the prince with God. Question, has God drawn you and I into his presence? He has. Has he given us free access anytime we want before, into the throne room of God? Do we have to have the scepter held out to us to enter in, or it'll be our death? Aren't you glad? Yes. Amen? We can boldly come into the presence of the Lord and call upon him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's exciting. We get to walk into the presence of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, anytime we want. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 11 says this, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty. You think that set in when he said that to him? God's talking to him. He's saying, I am God Almighty. Isn't that a good thing? When you trusted the Lord, did you not know that he was God Almighty? Of course you did. You were in the presence of God when you understood your need to know him as Savior. And God, verse 11, said unto him, I am God Almighty. Listen to this. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be out of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Question, does God want us as his children to be fruitful and multiply? Not just in children, but also in all the blessings that God has given to us. He wants that to be multiplied in our lives. And so if they're not being multiplied, where shall we go? Dr. Phil? Oprah Winfrey? Oprah? Who are we going to... The nightly news? Why, we got direct access into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. who can fix all of our problems and who can show us the way. And so, notice verse 12. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. We just got through learning that all those who believe in the Lord by faith are of the seed of Abraham. Amen. We've been incorporated into the promises of God. Amen. Because it was all about salvation, right? Amen. We've been brought into God's blessings, God's joy, God's peace, all these things that God wants all of his children to have. Okay? So, he says this in verse 13, and God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. Did you see that? Listen. God gave him the promise of what he wanted to do with his life, with Jacob's life. He called him Israel, right? Then look what the presence of God did for him. When he left from him, he made an altar and put a sacrifice. And you know what he did? He worshiped God. That's real worship, wouldn't you say? That wasn't... Did Jacob have to do those things or did he want to do those things? Isn't that amazing? See, God doesn't want us to have to do things. He wants us to want to do things for him. We love him. Why? That's just the way it is with God. The only reason why God wants us to do anything is in response to what he's already done for us. Isn't that good? In 2025, God wants to give us more of him. And you know, when we get more of him and more of his promises in us, we will worship like never before. Do you know, listen, whatever our age is, can God bring us to the place to worship him even more from a genuine heart of love? Amen. He'll give us that, won't he? So Lord, I want to seek and be committed to experiencing you and your grace in 2025 like never before. Look at verse 15. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel, the house of God. The house of God. You and I, listen to this. The house of God is where God is. So question. Where is the Lord in the life of the believer? In us, by the Holy Spirit. We take God everywhere we go. Do you know what that means? We have the potential of being, we are in the presence of God. But we can experience his presence every day, all the time, everywhere. Now, we don't always feel that way. But here's the question. Do we want to experience and know that we are with God all the time, every day, everywhere? Then how will that happen? I can't bring myself there, can you? I can't. Does God want us in his presence? Yes. All the time? Every day? Everywhere? Does he want his joy even if we're thrown in prison with Paul? Yeah. Does he want his peace even when things don't work out our way? I can't get there, so how will we get there? Ask God. Ask God to bring us there. Lord, I want it. And by the way, it glorifies him. Do you know that it is God's purpose and plan for you and I to humbly seek him and walk in his presence every day and know that he holds us where? In his hands. So this year, God says, come back to the altar of God. Reflect on your salvation. Set aside anything that would distract you from coming to me and see if I won't meet you there. Beginning with salvation and then with a wonderful walk with God. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, for your great grace, your great mercy, and your great love to each and every one of us. Lord, may you remind our hearts and minds that we seek a God that truly loves us and wants his very best for each and every one of his children. Beginning with salvation, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior, may you speak to their hearts and minds and allow them to know that it's simply by putting their faith and trust in the finished work of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings them into eternal life. But Lord, for those of us that know you, may you remind us, Lord, that if we call upon you and if we seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, that we would find you and that you don't make it complicated. You want us to walk with you and follow you and, Lord, to be in your presence. Bless, build Northwood for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.